Well, all of a sudden, the airport is pretty busy with diplomacy. Australia's Foreign Minister Penny Wong will set off to Fiji tomorrow, just hours after returning from the Quad Security Dialogue in Japan. Interestingly, the visit coincides with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi's Pacific tour. Now, he'll meet with Solomon Islands Prime Minister Manase Sogavare tomorrow to discuss the controversial security pact. The government says the trip signals the importance of the region to Australia. Well, Robin Nair is a former Fiji diplomat and politician. He's now an adjunct professor at James Cook University. Welcome to you, Robin. You reportedly wrote to Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama as one of his ambassadors back in 2015, accusing Australia of trying to, quote, strangle Fiji and annihilate his rule, and that Australia, quote, believes that the South Pacific Ocean is their lake and no one else should usurp their leadership and control of the region. Is that still your view of Australia's attitude towards the Pacific?
Basically right. Yes, that still remains my view. I must tell you that, you know, for more than 24 years, I was an Australian diplomat as well. So I understand Australian diplomacy as well as the Pacific. And towards the end of my career, when I resigned from the Australian Foreign Service, I went back to Fiji and then I rejoined the Foreign Affairs there. I just wanted to put myself in that context.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's why we're speaking to you. You have a unique kind of both sides of the fence perspective here. The new administration sought to highlight the value of the Australia-Pacific relationship through the campaign, particularly since the signing of the leaked security pact between China and the Solomons. What message does this visit so soon after the election signal to Fiji and the broader region about Australia's intentions?
Andy, my initial reaction is one of confusion. I see this as an unnecessarily hasty one. It would be seen as a knee-jerk reaction to the Chinese foreign minister being in the region at this moment. I know that the Labor government has many important policy decisions to implement. Many would say to correct the Morrison government or, in this case, to act at the lack of a complete understanding of the Morrison government of the Pacific.
So what did the Morrison government misunderstand, in your words, about the Pacific?
Australia has never really understood the Pacific Islands. They've always seen the Pacific Islands from their own perspective and never have bothered to know how those countries tick, how those people react. You know, you must realize that the Pacific has moved on from the colonial days. You know, the countries are very much their own people, and they've got their own particular views about their own country, and of course views about what's needed for their country.
In fact, I believe you were even scathing about then Foreign Minister Julie Bishop's role in the Pacific, and you used language like she was trying to woo the Pacific back only because China was interested in the region strategically. When you look back now, can you see those behaviours as fairly sort of selfish and shallow?
Yes, for the Australian foreign policy was based on values and rules-based foreign policy, but now the emphasis has shifted markedly towards just geopolitical. It really means, looking at things from your own Australia's national interests, dominated by knee-jerk reaction on the geopolitical issues.
Robin, much of your career before your international diplomatic career for Fiji was with DFAT during Labor governments. What does that tell you about the renewed focus on the region, well, apparent renewed focus on the region by this incoming Labor government?
You know, I welcome it. And, you know, what Penny Wong is talking about and what this Labor government has been talking about, about not being only reactive but being proactive. So from that point of view, I welcome it. But at the same time, I'd like to say, you know, with this incoming visit that we're talking about, I would have liked them to have considered We haven't even got a full Labour government. And I would have liked to have seen Foreign Minister Penny Wong coming in with her personal knowledge. Of course, I know that she's got a good personal knowledge of the Pacific, but she's coming in and she's exposed to other views too, now that she probably has the views of the DFAT and also the intelligence agencies feeding into it. And I think that she has to take time to consider her own knowledge of the Pacific with the knowledge of the bureaucracy and the intelligence organizations over here. Not to say that I endorse the views of DFAT on the Pacific now, but I think that she should take time to be able to consider the mix of views, the broader views.
On RN Drive, Robin Nair is here. He's a former Fijian diplomat and longtime advisor for DFAT. We're talking about the Australian Foreign Minister's visit to the Pacific tomorrow, in fact. You're with Andy Park here on RN Drive. Let me ask you, Robin, it's one thing to say self-determination is an imperative for the South Pacific nations, but I mean, if we do start seeing Chinese military bases and ships in the Pacific, won't that also affect the potential for self-determination for the Pacific Island nations?
I'll just go back to Chinese interest in the Pacific region. I mean, Chinese interest in the Pacific region is understandable. China has similar interests in all the regions in the world, and it is a superpower, and its interests are like other major powers, to the extent that it wants to extend its influence in all aspects, trade, economics, political, and security interests. But Australia, New Zealand, the US, and the West do not have a monopoly over these issues. So from that perspective, I can understand what China is doing. And, of course, we know for a start that the Pacific Islands, they've grown up under the influence of Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, of course. And I believe that the majority of the countries in the region are aligned to Australia, New Zealand, and the US naturally and as a matter of choice. But as I said to you, we must not pick the Pacific Island countries are no longer in a colonial relationship with the West.
Well, let's move to one security issue in particular. Fiji and other Pacific nations have recently called out Australia's former government over a lack of ambition on climate action. The new government has been highly critical of its predecessor's level of aid in the region. I mean, the Albanese government intends to legislate its net zero by 2050 commitment, and it's agreed to a more ambitious interim 2030 target of reducing emissions by 43%. I mean, is this enough for the Pacific? I mean, is this enough commitment?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say that, in terms of the visit itself, and if the Foreign Minister is going to go to the Pacific and at first to Fiji to reiterate its position on climate change, and just to reassure them that they've at last got a friend in Australia in terms of what the a major interest of the Pacific Islands are. That sounds very good, but she doesn't have to go at this stage to do it. The Pacific Islands have been rejoicing. They've been making statements about they're welcoming the new government in Australia from that point of view, and they know that they've got a friend in Australia in the Labor government, and she doesn't have to rush off there to reassure them of the
sure,
policy.
Sure, okay. But my question is, I mean, the science tells us that we need to sharpen our sovereign emissions target much more than Labor's current commitment. The Pacific Islands would be asking, no doubt, for a bigger commitment if the Pacific and Australia are to be so cosy friends in this new administration.
Mm-hmm. And they see, but the Pacific Islands see that Australia is willing to listen, because Australia, they believe Australia at last understands what the climate change is about, and that their policy of 43% by 2030 is of great interest to them. And of course, they want to push the Australian government to making further commitments in the climate conference. And so they're talking about below 2%, and they are talking about 1.5%, and they'll be pushing Australia to come along with them in that particular area. And I think that they feel confident that Australia would. So it's from that perspective, I think that they won't be, they'll be making the demands, the same demands that they made with other Australian government, but they feel that they would be able to at least be able to have a sympathetic hearing.
Just lastly, Fijian exports to China are worth something like 20 million. How important is China to Fiji?
Very important. You know, as I said to you, we tend to hear in Australia tend to look at China as a belligerent, a power in the Pacific. But there are other aspects, as I outlined to you, trade, economics, political, and other issues, economic interests. And from that point of view, it's very important to Fiji as far as an export market is concerned. And so is it for Australia. And so the Pacific Islands, that is an important aspect of the relationship with China. And the Pacific Islands look at the relationship with China in a more holistic way. I don't know how China looks at the Pacific from that perspective, but their commitment there in terms of development and training and so on, and they've shown an interest in developing the countries as well.
Maybe it's a little bit like Australia's relationship with our colonial power. Time will tell how this visit will pan out. Robin, it's been great to talk to you tonight. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Thank you, Andy. Bye-bye.
Robin Nair is a former Fijian politician and diplomat here on RN Drive.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.